our comforter. You know, our Father has three offices. And I suppose there's one that you kind of take for granted, if I should say such a thing. And that is, we take comforter, that someone that he promised that would come. And when we were in trouble, he would comfort us, maybe touch us, leaving in your mind and heart, if you're not careful, the fact that he's left it all up to you. And when you get in trouble, he will comfort you. That's what his position is. But that's not exactly. That's only one of the very small offices. You see, we have the Godhead. We have one God. And he works within those three offices. And the Comforter is that office of the Godhead that you have instant access to today. What then does this word Comforter truly mean as it is used, the equivalent both in the Old and the New Testament? We find the word parakletos, parakletos, and it means advocate. A little different than comforter, but with power, advocate. Well, you see, you also have an adversary. And for every negative, there is a positive, and the Father has it built in. It means, if we were to break it down, all these thoughts, if you will assemble them in one, summoned. It means summoned. It means a person called in to help, not just comfort. You see, when we comfort someone, we think of putting our arm around them and say, it's going to be all right, good person. He is an advocate, one of action, strong action. It means summoned to give assistance. It means, and is used in the legal sense many times, help in court. And really, that's what he is. He's your counselor, in as much as you might think of a lawyer. He represents you. He represents you as he sits at the right hand of Almighty God. And if you get in trouble, after you turn your heart over to him, he argues your case. And isn't it wonderful that the case is judged by the Father? So the same one that counsels you, that comforts you, that is your lawyer, that is your advocate, is also your judge. Hey, we got something going for us, if you understand what I mean. The Comforter does a great deal more than simply comfort. When man strikes out on his own to do a thing, if he does it within himself, you're going to fall flat on your face, friend. You will fall flat on your face. He'll comfort you after you get picked up, but you must realize that you need to talk it over with him beforehand. He wants to hear from you. I suppose that we all do an oversimplification when it comes to that office. And it causes me to go back to Job's time. You see, the Comforter has been with us for a long time. It's the Holy Spirit. It's that Spirit, when he ordered that it move upon the waters, and the waters receded and became dry land that we now live on. The Comforter is one of action. My mind goes back to that example that he set forth for you. And that example was in Job. What does Job mean in the Hebrew tongue? Persecuted. You might say prosecuted also. But he had an advocate. And I want to go back over those words with you. Open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1. Paying honor to our Heavenly Father, he that created all things. And I want you to hear a discussion from your Father concerning comfort. Persecuted in as much as Job, in a sense, is a type of yourself, one of God's elect, someone God is very proud of, someone that God is sure of. We pick it up with verse 6. You've all read it many, many times. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. This is right at the throne where you have that advocate. And Satan came also among them. No marvel, he's there. Revelation 12:7 documents that. And the Lord said unto Satan, Satan is who? He's the adversary. Adversary even right now. What does an adversary do? Argues against you. Every time you think you've done something real good, he says, that's nothing. That's nothing at all. One of my boys could have done it much better. God. And God has to take that stuff or allows himself to take it on your behalf. We disappoint him greatly at times because he's proud of you. Real proud. Because you performed for him real well at one time being one of God's elect. How you doing now? And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, the adversary, that office has that same privilege today. Not Satan de facto, meaning in person, so to speak, but the equivalent of, or the opposite, rather, of a Holy Spirit, the evil spirit, talking to you over your little left shoulder, just egging you on at times. Boy, it's so easy to listen. So easy to... He'll tell you how weak your flesh is and how hard, and that you should take care of yourself. You should really not do things strenuous that would, or plant seeds. After all, they may say something back to you that would be offensive, and you don't want to hear that. And on it goes, you know. He's the adversary, but we have an advocate in that same position. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That's my elect down there, Satan. You've been down there walking to and fro. What did you make off of him? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth or reveres God and escheweth evil, hates all evil, just won't put up with a minute of it. Now listen carefully. This is why we came here. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does Job revere you for nothing at all? What Satan's going through his mind, just so you get the point, you've got a wall around him down there. You've got your advocate all around him where I can't get to him. I can't even touch him. Why do you think he loves you? Anybody would love you if you'd put a wall around them like that, that me or my evil spirits can't get in there and tear him up and make a good rat's nest in his happy doings. It's important you catch that point. God placed the advocate, the wall, there around Job. Why? Job earned it. Not only from this earth age, but the one that was. Verse 10. Has not thou made an hedge about him? There you've got it. God, you put a protecting hedge around him and about his house. And about all that he hath on every side. Are you beginning to understand what an advocate is now? Have you heard or had me ever pray for you when you were down and you would hear me say, Father, place a wall around this person and their family? That wall goes up instantly. And it's a very real wall. We're not playing church, friend. It's a very real wall. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Why wouldn't he revere you, God? You gave him everything he could ever want. Not so, friend. Satan will lie to you. Many people say, well, that's what the scripture says. No, that's Satan talking there, friend. God did not give it to him for naught. It was due. Do you understand what I mean? Job had earned it. Job had asked for it. Job had sought that wall. Job had prayed, Father, protect me and mine. Keep that wall about us. Do you do that, friend? Been having trouble at home lately? Trouble in the family? Trouble in the business? What about your wall? Have you asked for one? Have you asked for the comforter to take action? For he's very real. And he likes nothing better than to tell Satan, I can trust them. They're mine. They earned the wall. You keep your hands off of them. keep your hands off my property. So you see, it's there for you. That's what the comforter is. Not just someone to pat you on the head and say, oh, you tried. You tried, you poor little thing, you. You always fail, don't you? But just keep trying. The comforter sees that you succeed when you know and understand that he loves you. He cares. Cares ever so much. And he is so jealous that when someone asks for that protection and has the strength to stand, that if Satan or any of his evil spirits comes within a country mile, he knocks them to the ground. On his belly he crawls where he ought. When he is in the presence of God's elect, oh, the comforter is such a dynamic office. It's one we should think of more, for it's the one you have contact with now. It's the one you communicate to your Father, the full Godhead, through now, is the comforter. Again, just someone that pats you on the head. No, advocate, defender in court, your lawyer, that sits at the very right hand of God, that is a man of truth, knowing what's in your heart. And when Satan comes forth with his lies, he says, that is a lie, Father. That's all of it, friend. You get a fair break there. You get a fair shake. You can trust him because he loves you and he knows the truth. That is your comforter. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You think that you've got such a good thing behind that hedge. If you'll take that hedge away that he has prayed for, I'll show you how much stuff he's got, or she's got. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand. I'm still leaving that wall on his life, Satan. I'm not going to do that to him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God allowed Satan to test Job. Why? Because God was proud of Job. And you know something? 37 chapters, approximately. Job is tested by fire, by men's yakety, lies, false reports, false religious accusations, and Job never gives up that one thing, our Father, because Satan could not touch that part of his life, for it had that sin around it. And finally, God says, Job, get up from there and stop listening to those, I'll say it, stupid people that without the wisdom of God, and start listening to me. Start acting like a man of God. Get that wall around you and feel that power. So you see, if Job had been on his own all through his pilgrimage of that book of Job, that report, he would have fallen. He would not have lasted when his own wife told him, almost the first day, you miserable wretch, you got boils from head to toe, your friends have turned on you, why don't you kill yourself and get it over with? Pretty tough sledding, friend. When your own mate would say that to you, Job stood. You know, I mean, it wasn't easy, but God had that hedge about his own soul. So, the reason we went there was to prove this point. God places a fence around you and your property. You understand? Your business. Your life. And you might say, well, how much of that can I ask for? And it reminds me of the story of two old boys down south that were sitting there just lazy under a tree, and one of them says, oh, Lord, look at that train going by there. I wish I had that whole train full of watermelons. And the other one said, oh, my, if you had that whole train load of watermelons, would you give me one of them? And he said, if you're too lazy to wish for you own, do it out. So, you know what I have to say to you about a hedge? Huh? I've got one, all right? I've got a hedge. Old Satan tries to penetrate it, you know. What about you? You might say, well, will you put one around me? Uh-uh. I might at a crucial time, at a time of trouble. But for your everyday life, friend, you ask him. If you're too lazy to ask him yourself, do it out. You can ask him. You can talk to him. He loves to hear from you. He is, after all, your father, and is this not Father's Day? There's nothing he likes better than to hear from you. And if, when he owns everything, do you think he's going to disallow you, a little old fan? You know, that's not much to ask for compared to somebody that says, I want a new Cadillac, and I want this, and I want that. I want a fence. Hey, you can get the Cadillac if you've got a fence out there to keep Satan off your back. You understand what I mean? You can be prosperous if you have the wisdom of from God's Word that he shares with you, and you have the obstacles removed, basically, more or less. And certainly if something sneaks through, you can handle it because he's going to protect you. I just want you to see what our comforter, what our advocate is, all right? Now, let's go to the epistles of John. Epistles of John, just before Jude and Revelation, third from the end of God's Word. The epistles. Let's go to Epistle 1 of St. John. Little thing there I want us to think on and meditate a moment. I realize, you know, sometimes the reason we overlook comforter or not having a tape on comforter is because we take too much for granted. Well, we understand that everybody should understand the comforter, and we forget to go back to the basics at times. And the basics are so important, for after all, is that not next to the foundation? Chapter 2, the first epistle of John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. This in the Greek means that you do not become a habitual sinner. We're all going to sin, and we're all going to fall short. But don't be an habitual sinner. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. You got that? Underline it in your mind. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know what this word advocate is? Parakletos. The same word as comforter. Same Greek word is used, I will send thee parakletos, which is to say comforter, advocate, lawyer, counselor. And you tell him what you need. Ask for it. And I want you to note the entire Godhead mentioned within that. Advocate, Father, and the Son. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Have you sinned? Repent. You're forgiven. You have an advocate there, a lawyer, sitting there at the right hand of God that said, Father, they petition, I grant it. Do you think Father will refuse you? And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, does that mean that God forgives all of the sins of the world? No way. There must come repentance first, naturally. The world itself cannot partake of the Holy Spirit. They've got to be converted first. That is to say, converted what? Believers. You've got to believe in something before you can partake of it. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What? His word. If we grow skilled in it, if we learn how to use his word. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It won't do that person any good to call for the hedge, necessarily. However, God is just full of mercy, and innocence can be a great overcomer at times. Always try. Always try. Ask him when you need help. But whoso keepeth his word in him, now did it say follow it to the letter? It said in him. Verily is in the love of God perfected. Do you try to keep his word in you? Do you enjoy studying it a little bit, thinking about it, talking to him? He didn't ask you to be perfect. He said, in him. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked. So there you have it. You have that advocate, the lawyer, the counselor, the one that is able to protect you from the world. Hey, the world will eat you up if you let it. It certainly will. It can take you down if you let it. And you alone can do nothing against it. You've got to place the wall there. He's ready. Are you? He's ready to do it, ready to put it there. When you ask, did he promise this in another place? Of course he did. The same writer, St. John, but the gospel thereof. Let's go to it. Chapter 14. Naturally, you knew I was going there at some time through this discussion. On our Father, that office of comforter when Jesus spoke of it. I'm just going to start reading it, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You don't have to worry because you believe. You have the commandment in you. In my Father's house are many mansions. This does not mean some 10-story, 6-bedroom, swimming pool behind type mansion. It simply means a resting place. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to say something that may shock some of you. You don't have to wait to receive a great deal of that resting place, for that is to say, for your temple that you dwell in. You can ask for it now. That's to say, the hedge, the protection. Hey, this world isn't all that bad if we exercise our power and authority that he grants through the Comforter. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you think he's talking about the second advent here? No, he's talking about coming as the Comforter. That the Comforter could come in you and you could be the same place he is today, in a restful place. I'm saying in a spiritual sense. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I've taught you. Why? His word, when you take it in you. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, for from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You understand that inasmuch as you have the Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Comforter, that when you take that Comforter in you, you have the very Father himself, the nearest of kin. That's why I can say near kinsman without any worry of overstating a fact. We're talking about now. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. See, Philip had already been caught up once, carried to a different place ever after having taught the eunuch, and he still asked. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Don't you recognize the Godhead? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Show us great things. And we have that Comforter today, and he is our Father. A different office? Yes. Still same entity. Believest thou not that I am? You understand I am the sacred name? Yah in the Hebrew tongue, Yahweh. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He doeth what? Works. Action. Believe me. If you believe him, what do you receive? Guarantee that you won't perish. John 3:16. Believe me, Father, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You've observed the miracles. You've observed 5,000 fed with a few loaves and fishes. You've seen it. You've experienced it. Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, who does the works? Father, the works that I do shall he do also. You want to participate? What was the main work he accomplished? Bringing Father's word. Do you want to be a worker? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Holy Spirit enters a body of people. And great things can be accomplished if you have the hedge and the belief. I do this humbly, but look where you're now sitting. Congregation of 120, 30 million viewing audience. and I might say to you, very soon going to Europe, whereby in reaching that third of the earth's surface, you more or less cover the world. Do you think for one moment that we could have accomplished that? No way. Greater things than these shall the Holy Spirit do through you if you will allow it, if you will believe. What a miracle. And you're there. And whosoever ye shall, and whatsoever rather ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified through the works of those that partake of the comfort of the Son, whereby he can elevate you. You can't elevate yourself. And self must always remember who's at the throttle, who does the work. We're only servants. He does the work. And when you ask something, who is he talking to here? Someone that wants to do his works. Someone that he had just said, you will do greater works than these. What were those works? Spreading the gospel. Not wishing someone would say, and I suppose I wear this out, wishing for a Cadillac. What has that got to do with spreading the gospel? Well, I like to go first class whenever I travel. Well, tell him. That's all right. Go ahead. Maybe he wants you to travel first class. But make sure you're asking for the Cadillac to deliver God's word. All right? Or you won't even get a nut off the steering wheel in a package wrapped with a promise of the other later. It's got to be for the purpose of serving him. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you need something to further the kingdom, ask it in his name. What does it do when you ask it in his name? It guarantees and documents that you believe, or you wouldn't be asking it in his name. You're documenting the fact that you're a believer, that you know and understand what you need it for. Many things. I don't want someone to just shut out and forget to ask for healing and for a sound mind and for a quicker mind, because that is part of spreading the word. You understand? Don't limit yourself. Our God has plenty of everything. But keep it in its proper perspective. Do you understand what I'm saying? A sound, quick mind. A healthy body. Transportation? Sure. Our transportation has to be instant travel now, happens to be. We asked for it, in a way. And boy, did we get it. Did we get it. Traveling the world over in just split seconds with the beautiful word of God. 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is an advocate. Paracletos. Advocate, lawyer. I'll get you the best lawyer in the country, one that has power and action. I hope that you don't think I'm being too down to earth, but we've got to reach this thing of the mind where we understand his capabilities, that he does it for you. He represents you. He sees that things happen, that it's not all just talk. I will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How long? Forever. That's not a shallow promise. And you can enjoy it right now. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Some of you might have thought, well, he overstepped his bounds when he said the world cannot receive the Comforter. They can't. Why? They don't believe. But anyone out of that world that does believe can change. Can change to a believer, and then it is for them. You understand? The world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's your advocate. That's that closeness. No one can get that close to you, dear one, except your advocate. I will not leave you comfortless, his promise. Oh, Lord, I'm all alone. They've all left me. Friend, don't give me that stuff. I don't care how lonely you may be as far as men is concerned, but the one nearest you has not left you, except you have blasphemed or something of that nature. He will never leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. They do not see the office of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And when he raised from that tomb, he documented the fact that he does live eternally and that he is with you and in you, that warm spirit that touches you. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hold that thought a moment. The Father and the Son and you, and the Comforter that binds it. How much better can you have it? And you have problems, and you think he can't take care of them? That's how close it is. That's how real it is. We're not playing games. And if you try with belief, he won't let you down. You'll be blessed. How oft it is that man in the flesh tuggles and struggles with life, overlooking the simplicity of that one advocate. It's just like putting a key in a lock and opening a door and walking into success and rest and peace of mind. Or you can walk outside. It's like putting a key in a hedge, walking into it and moving it to your circle. Your life, your lawyer, your advocate. And you see, when you pull all of those offices into the Comforter, and that's what he just did, you have every sacred name, Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Shema. That is to say, the God that blesses you, the God that prospers you, the God that is with you, every one of them, the Savior, all within the Comforter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest, repeat, manifest myself to him. Sometime in your life you will have that one touch that makes it a reality. And you know, many people will foolishly come back and say, oh, I want that all the time. Uh-uh, friend. You couldn't handle it. You've got plenty. Partake of it. Judas said unto him, this is not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How can you come back here and we will see you and the world cannot? How can that be? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You understand how important that is, dear one? And my Father will love him, and we, you understand, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Hold on to that thought a moment. When you partake of the Comforter, that advocate, we're talking about all three offices, the Father, Yeshua, and that very special Ruach, the Holy Spirit. All in one, and you worry, you would worry. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. This is the full Godhead's promise. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you before the resurrection. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, or Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring, what is he? Somebody to pat you on the head? And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Will teach you, will touch your mind. You may have thought, ask for a quicker mind? Of course. He can bring it to your remembrance. It's there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That restful place we read of back in verse 2. Not as the world giveth, but I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I would recommend that you complete that beautiful thought, but I want to go to one more in closing, a thought. Let us recap here so that we have this all in our mind straight, that when we say comforter, we're talking about the full Godhead and your door to that Godhead today. There's no other. You might say, well, I go straight to the Father. You go straight to the Comforter, which is the Father. But you must do it His way. Why? Because that's what the Word teaches. That's the way it's taught. But in that, you have one and all. Does that sound like double talk? It isn't. If you look at it very carefully, it documents your belief and loyalty to Him, because you will be doing it His way, not your way, through that Comforter. That Comforter has touched many of you. That Comforter indeed does comfort you, that role also. That's a time of tremendous stress. There's many of you, I know personally as your pastor, that you couldn't have made it without the Comforter. And in that office of comfort, of sure, certain knowledge that He is in control. And many would go as far as to say, well, I don't like to bother Him about little old daily things in my life. Hey, if He's in you, don't you put Him through the little old daily things? Then it's very much His business. You understand? So don't be afraid to ask. Ask and receive. Okay, let's go to chapter 15, same book, verse 26. Listen to His words. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. He'll glorify me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Jesus was not necessarily talking to His disciples alone, those from the beginning that were chosen from the beginning. Those that Job was symbolic of, God's elect. It, of course, means the same to the saved person. 16:1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. You might get tossed out of a church somewhere. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That they've got rid of a heretic, have gotten rid of a heretic. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know the score. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told ye of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Instead of saying, where do you go, I'm seeing some long, sad faces here that I'm going to die on the cross. That's what He's saying to them, all, okay, directly. So I don't see any rejoicing. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is for your benefit, for your best being, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. You can guarantee, it's guaranteed, beloved, is what I'm saying. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. He will convince the world that it is sin in His way, and He does. His work within our own body has moved a great deal in that direction. I know it may not seem to some that do not participate in mail and all that, but if you knew the ministers, large ministries that study with us, that are touched by His Word, by the Holy Spirit, the true Spirit. But it is amazing and so wonderful to see the work of the Advocate in action. The world is reproved. It takes boldness to stand, but the Advocate is bold, and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. And unfortunately, we're coming to that place, beloved, inasmuch as last week this day was Pentecost. But a Pentecost is coming. It's going to be soon. That we are going to stand again. And because they believe not him, they won't believe you either, but it shall come to pass. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Or of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, or has been judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That advocate can share those things with you through the word. That advocate can stir your mind and help you to see deeper into the truth and the things that shall come to pass as they are written in the Word. That's why he encourages you so to keep the Word near you and in you. And one other verse comes to mind, and I've got to use it in closing. Let me think, where is it? Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The word advocate also means intercessor, and it is a kin word that it is used in this verse, but it is not the word that we've been using, parakletos, but it is a kin word. Verse 34, Romans 8, in closing. This speaks directly to God's elect, saying, you were predestined, you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. And then it states, who is he that condemneth? Question. Does it matter to you who condemns you in this world? In other words, what he's really saying, if Satan condemns you, what does it matter? What does it matter? It is Christ that died, not Satan, he's going to. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And there he is. He's there right this instant, looking down, waiting for your call, waiting to bless you, waiting to intercede if you need it, if you ask for it. And you can rest assured, there is no greater guarantee that can be put forth by man or the world than that your Father is there, and you have an intercessor there, and that he will touch you, that he will make something out of you. And I must say this, and I don't want this to sound like I'm bragging. I'm just proud that I'm just a part of the member of the body that he's putting together at this time, a mighty body. But it is he that gives it the power and the blessing. And don't ever forget, dear one, the hedge. And if I were to give you any one advice in completing this particular lecture, a wise person has a hedge around them and their business and their life and the ones they love. If you don't have one there now, I wouldn't let this day go past that I didn't have a real good talk with your Father, even on Father's Day, about that hedge. Because you can certainly be touched by someone other than him if you don't have it there. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the advocate, our lawyer, our spokesman, our love, Father. We just thank you, Father, for your presence, that you love us in such a way that you would even allow us to become a part of that body, which is to say Christ. Use each of these. Keep that wall around this ministry and this body. We ask it in Yeshua Messiah, Jesus' precious, perfect name. Amen.